Glad you could be with us on our Wednesday night service. If you'll direct your attention to the screens up there, we'll all stand and sing a song, number 337, which is I Know Whom I Have Believed. Good evening, everybody. It's good to see all of you. So thankful that you've made the effort to come out. Tonight we are going to begin our Proverbs study, which we've been in it, but what we're going to do is we're going to try to take it chapter by chapter. We've already did probably seven or eight of them. It just kind of seemed like our times of business meeting would fall on the generally the same area. So we're going to start with the first, and then next week we'll do the second and all that. But do we have a word of praise or a word of testimony tonight before we start off our service?
Just glad to be back.
Amen. Good to have you back, Brother Johnny. Thankful for you. Amen. I got my phone call for it on yesterday. from another man that's in there, going to be there for a year. And basically God has taken him to the lowest, had good job, good house, all that stuff, and he was taken in. And so wow. I didn't either. I thought a year was kind of the max that they did. Well, do you know? I watch my ID network and my investigation discovery and all that. The other day they had one in Gate City. There was one that a wife had killed her husband. Yeah, and it wasn't long ago, you know, and had she had buried him in the backyard or something like that, and then she run, and so it's just on the it's crazy world we living in. Anyone else got a word of testimony or praise? Praise God, I wasn't on the investigation discovery yet, on either end. We do just want to thank God that He's in control, and I'll be honest with you, most of you know that I've been kind of keeping up with everything that's going on, but I had to take a break from it this week. I mean, it's just sometimes I've been told things are kind of slowing down a little bit, but it just really, really blows my mind when in New York you have the highest crime rates and they're wanting to take away $1 million from it. I told Amy, I said, that's exactly what they need right there, ain't it? But we're thankful that God's in control. Also, we're a day closer to the end of this COVID thing. It's like we were talking about before service. Basically, we're all going to get it, whether we get it through the shot that they come out with or we get it through the herd mentality one way or another. But it ain't going nowhere. So we just basically are thankful that God's in control. And then Sister Ruth Roten, she called Sunday night and left a praise report but couldn't quite understand what the praise report was. So I called her on Monday and I woke her up from her nap. And it took her a minute to realize who I was. But her daughter Vicky is kindly a frontline worker and had to have the test. And she was so thankful that it came back negative that she had to tell somebody. So I had a real good conversation with her, and I've only met her one time, and that was right after the wreck. But the last thing she told me was she loved me, and that just meant a lot to me that she does. But and she's thankful for the Facebook. She is very thankful for the Facebook and being able to watch with us. So we give God the praise for that. Also, continue to pray for Sister Vicky, that comes with my wife, and that's the counselor at the school there. She's got to have surgery on the 24th. She's having a hernia, and basically it's pushing the stomach up behind her heart. And so we want to continue to pray for her. She's very faithful, and she's an asset to Amy, right now, especially as she's starting out. Today was Amy's first active role as principal. She told me she was on News Channel 5 today. They came out and videoed her. Brother Paul seen them working on a sign. They was putting a new sign up out there in front of Pennington Middle School. And Brother Paul asked her, was that her statue that she was putting up for herself? And so she said today that they unveiled her statue. We do want to remember the lost and the backslidden. I want to pray for them, those that are in the prison system and can get lost sometimes in there. Remember the depressed. Also, Brother Tommy Tester, he has to be at the hospital at 8 o'clock in the morning. Or as far as I know, he has to be there by 8. It was at 8:30, but then they moved it up on him. Continue to pray for Sister Jeanette. She had her MRI, I think is what it was, on Tuesday. And they should know something by next Tuesday is what Sister Jane said today. I talked with her. We want to continue to pray for Brother Kent Smith as he's just weak right now. But praise God, I think he's having some okay days. I want to continue to pray for him. Also, Nicholas Patrick, the 16-year-old boy that's battling cancer, want to pray for him. Nolan Hensley, we have been hearing good words from him that he's off the medication that they were keeping him paralyzed and all that. Are they letting him speak, or do they still have the trach in him, the breathing tube? And just being in an unfamiliar place, period, especially with everything that's going on, but the unfamiliarity. We'll be praying for you, sister. Brother, continue to pray for Brother Wayne. I spent the afternoon with him, and he is mending up, but it's going to be a long, hard road. But specifically, his heart's doing well, but we are praying for his eye. Miss Gina Franks, Miss Mary Stodgris, Miss Sheila Stanley, JC and Derek Osborne, that's my niece by marriage, or cousin by marriage, that's basically 20 weeks into a pregnancy with triplets, and they said that she have the two of them may have the Edwards syndrome, but we're praying and believing that God's able to do greater. Sister Cindy Osborne, that's Sister Ruth's daughter, she did come back. She does not have the bone marrow cancer or the leukemia. We give God praise for that. There was some issues with the bone marrow that weren't the best, but praise God, it's not cancer. So we're thankful for that. Also, hold on just a second. I got some more on my phone that I've been asked to pray for. We want to pray for Miss Verna. Let me see where the last name is. Verna Lawson. This is Sister Ruth's sister. We want to pray for her. And then also Sister Jean Rasnick has asked me for us to pray for Lynn Moore. He is the brother-in-law to Glenda Osborne. He's had to have an infection. He's got an infection in his leg and a defibrillator and a pacemaker to his heart. So we want to pray for them. Sister Ruth Roten, want to pray for her. Sister Faye Hill, Becky and Paul Hayes, Levi Lynn, Donnie Fields, good report there. Sister Hazel Stanley, Sister Jeanette Carter, Sister Peggy Stanley, Sister Alma Bowen, Sister Lottie Johnson, Sister Ruby and Brother Jay, Sister Phyllis and Brother Hoyt, Liza Fletcher, Sister Henrietta Roach, talked with Brother Keith today, and basically him and his brothers and sisters are having to spend 24/7 with his mama right now, so I want to pray for him. Brother Bobby and Miss June Jesse, Margaret and Chet Wheeler, Miss Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Miss Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, John and Carmine Shoup, and then Ryan Luke. Do we have any other prayer needs tonight? Strong. Yes, there are some unspoken requests as well. The deacons know them, but there's been a family that has ties to the church that just needs a lot of prayer right now. Anyone else?
Emily Down, she had the strokes and nothing came back
My mom and dad were also checked for the COVID, and they come back negative. Praise the Lord for that. Any other prayer needs tonight? Mama. How's her equilibrium? She's still fuzzy? Brother Keith, he had an MRI and said not only does he have the shattered vertebrae, and then some other vertebrae, now he's got deterioration and a lot of arthritis set up in his spine now. So we want to pray for him. Anyone else? Let's do pray for our nation as we try to press through this situation and get to a place where there is a normal again. We don't know what it's going to look like, but there will be a normal that comes back through this. Too soon to tell what it's going to look like, but God is able. Nationally, right now, there's 2,767,822 that have been infected by the COVID-19. There's been 130,627 have passed away. In the state of Virginia right now, there's 69,514 with 1,661 deaths. But nationally, active right now, there are 1,482,643, while at the same time, there's been 1,153,553 that have been cured. And so we give God praise for that, that we're getting to the point where the cured is about to tip over, that we have more that have been healed than we do, probably already do, because not all states are reporting, but that's a good thing. And you see, even as the numbers are ticking up right now, the death rate is going the opposite way. They're learning how to work with it and keep it from being deathly. Anyone else tonight? All right, I'm going to ask Brother John Franklin if he would to come and lead us in a word of prayer tonight. And y'all know that we all have our own prayer needs. I'm sure many on Facebook have their prayer needs tonight. You call them out and just give them to the Lord. You raise your hand when you give him. Raise your hand for the one he's already answered and just give him praise in the midst of it. Brother John.
Let's go to our Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just bow here before you this evening, Father the Lord, Father, I just recognize you as the Lord God Almighty. I just thank you for the privilege to be here this evening. Father, you've heard all the many names, spoken and unspoken. Father, and we just lift them up to you, each case, each individual. You know all, everything that's going on in each person's lives, Father, so we just lift that up to you. And just pray for your will, Father, Lord. Lord, just give us the faith to trust in you as well in all circumstances in our life. Father, at this time, Lord, I just ask your blessing upon our study here tonight, Father, as we open up your word. And I just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother John. As I said, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs tonight, and then we'll begin to discuss them a little bit. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read it out of the King James, and then as we break down the verses, we'll do it from the English Standard. But we'll begin in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 33. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to whom wisdom and instruction to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. If, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and the whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way of them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their foot run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without, and uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth to the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, how long will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and you've refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they will not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkens unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. May God add the blessings to his readings. So as we have talked about, and we've recognized, and we can kindly break this down, especially the first couple of verses, and what we're going to see tonight is, as we've studied Proverbs, we've seen that most of the Proverbs, like we studied over in chapter 17 a few weeks ago, we saw that each verse was basically one proverb. It was a brief statement that imparted general advice or wisdom. And then last week, when we looked over at a different passage, I think it was passage 24, what we saw there is that while sometimes it may be just one verse, other times it can be two, and even all the way up to three or four is about the max. But what we're going to see tonight is some of these, basically all you really have is two different sections here in this passage, chapter 1. You kindly see the prelude into the whole book, which goes between verses 1 through verse 7, and then it's broken down between verses 8 and 9, and then verses 10 through 19, and they're going to carry the same topic, but they're just basically two meanings there. And then from verses 21 through 27, and lastly verses 28 through 29. So we're not going to read, we're going to try to take them by, not verse by verse, but by subject by subject and try to look at these things and contain them all together. But remember, when we look at the book of Proverbs, we know that it was written by the wisest of men. We see there in the book of Kings, it says that because he asked for wisdom and not for riches or anything like that, that God, who asked him, "What would you have that I give to you?" God said, "I'm going to make you the wisest man that has ever been up to this point in time, and after you, there will be none wiser than you." And so, even though Solomon failed to engage the wisdom that he had the understanding, but he didn't choose to apply it in his life. You know, and that's what a lot of people. The Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Well, not just knowing the truth is going to change your life. The reality of the truth being lived in your life is where the freedom comes from. It's just like a door. And I've said this before. You can walk up to that door and you can look at that door and you can realize that if you push that bar, the door is going to engage to where it can be open. But until you act on the knowledge you have and you're willing to push that bar or to turn that knob, that knowledge does you no good. You're still trapped on the inside of that door. But when you enact the truth that you know, then the reality of that truth places you in a different situation or circumstance. And so that's what we see here. And remember, there's basically three ideas of wisdom that we see in the book of Proverbs. There's general wisdom, basically what we can use and to practice in our everyday life that we need. Then there is insight to rulers, kings or princes. What we could see today is it could be used in the leadership of our governments, in the leadership of businesses, in the leadership of organizations, and even in churches. And then there is parent and children wisdom, how the relationship where the wisdom lies between a father and a child or a mother and a child or a grandparent and grandchildren. So here in verse 1, basically we just see who the writer of the majority of these scriptures are, specifically chapters 1 through about chapters 26, 27, and then you might have some different writers after that. Lemuel, I think, is one that's credited, but the main author is Solomon himself. And then we see why. Why is this book written? If you know, look there in verses 2 through 4. It says, "For learning wisdom and discipline, for understanding insightful sayings, for receiving prudent instruction," or basically receiving cunning deliberation or discernment, being able to discern a situation, what's going on in the middle of that situation, and then be able to do what's right in the middle of that situation. It also goes on to say instructions in righteousness, justice, integrity, for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to the young. So we have the who, meaning verse 1, that's the writer, the one where the wisdom lies in that God gave him. And now we see the why. We see it's for the learning of wisdom, for understanding, for insightful sayings. Just like when it says for prudent instructions in righteousness, that has to do with the discipline concerning what is moral and right and good. Now, you know, we're going to be presented with different situations, and we're going to be able to do something that would be beneficial to us and maybe make us richer and put us in a more significant situation where people would look up to us and we would be more honored. But is that going to bless the people around us? Is that what's going to be good for those? Is that what is right in the eyes of God? I think, and that's what we're seeing in our country today. There's decisions being made not only in the government as we think about in nationally, but state-wise and even in our local governments. People are making decisions based on what can I get out of this. If I do this at the local situation, then it's going to lift me up and put me in a stately situation. Not really about the people. And that's what he's trying to tell us right here. That in this wisdom, in what Solomon is writing here, we're going to be able to discern what is right and moral in the eyes of God, not just for ourselves. Notice, he also says justice. Not only is it right in the eyes of God, but it's right with our brothers and sisters. We're to do right. And I think the word in the King James was equality, that it needs to be. And listen, when our forefathers, you know, they said that all men are created equal, that means that we're given the same opportunities. We're not given the same things. Nowhere in Scripture do you find that we're given, but we've all been made and created in the eyes of God. We've been made in His image, and we have some of the same opportunities, but that doesn't mean we're going to end up with the same stuff and in the same place as some would want us to do today. That never has that been the intention of our God nor of our forefathers. It goes on to say integrity. Integrity means to do what's right when nobody's looking. To be the right type of person, whether someone's around, whether they're not around, whether it's going to benefit you or it's going to benefit another, that you'll be the type of person that's able to conform or to transform the flesh to follow after what is right in the eyes of God. Did you have your hand raised, brother? Okay, I thought I seen a hand raised. Just jump in here if you want to, okay? Notice in verse 4 it says, for the teaching of shrewdness in the inexperienced. Again, the idea of discernment to those that are young. You know, when you're in a situation, you're not sure what's going on. You're not sure what the outcome will be if you choose A, if you choose B, if you choose C. And so based on the teaching and the wisdom of Solomon that we see here in this scripture, then it's going to help the quote-unquote inexperienced one or those that's not really lived very much, that's not been involved in many situations. And it's going to give them knowledge. It's going to give them discretion to the young. So we see the who, the writer, the why, the all those things that we just read there. And then we see another who, the recipient. It says in verse 5, let the wise person listen. Who is this for? It's for those that are willing to receive wisdom. Remember, we studied that wisdom is not good for a fool. They're not going to be willing to sit there and to receive it or to be corrected or to allow it to come into their lives and apply it to change their lives. They're going to do what they want to do, what is their idea. Believe you me, there's some people, as a pastor, you see things going on in their life. But based on things that you've done before, you've warned them about a situation. You've said, if you keep going down this road, then X is going to happen. Well, what do they say? Thank you, preacher, or whatever, but then they do what they want to do. I tell you what, the next time, I probably ain't going to say nothing to them. Why? Because they didn't listen to it in the first place. They've got to learn from the circumstances instead of listening to it. And I'm sure you've probably had friends like that. You've had youngins like that. You know, you don't want to see them go through what you went through, or maybe you've seen others go through. But hey, once you've said it two or three times, then you're like, all right, big boy, just go ahead and we'll see you on the other side. All right. But look, he says, those that listen, the wise person is one who listens. You remember when we studied chapter, 17, I think it was. Even the fool is perceived as wise when he does what? Keeps his mouth shut. That's right. And you know the old saying, you got one mouth, two ears. What does that mean? You to listen double time, then you talk. So let a discerning person, let one that can recognize the difference, obtain guidance. And none of us know it all. We all could use wisdom in our lives and for someone to guide us. Notice in verse 6, then it says, again, the who and a little bit of the why. For the proverb, for understanding, a proverb or a parable. Remember, that's what Jesus said he was going to use. And remember, a parable is an earthly story that reveals a heavenly or a spiritual truth. And in that parable, God hides it, just what Jesus said. He hides the truth. He hides reality in that parable. And people can't see what's real. Only those that are willing to sit down and receive it then are able to, through the person of the Holy Spirit, are they able to understand it. But in the King James it says, and the look there in verse 6, it says, the words of the wise and their dark interpretations. The word dark there means hidden. Not that they're evil, not that it's light and darkness compared, but in the in the Christian Standard, it says the words of the wise and their riddles. So see, we have Proverbs. Remember, those are brief statements. And lots of times what you see is that it uses earthly situations to show wisdom and truth. We have parables where God takes an earthly story and reveals heavenly and spiritual truths. And then we see that there are riddles. There are riddles. And you know, in riddles, basically, you see some perplexing things that may be a bit confusing, but in the riddle, when it's laid out, the complex and the perplexing is able to be seen. And so then we've seen the who's, the why's, and all that. Now we can look in verse 7. Basically, this is going to be the general piece of wisdom that trumps everything that's to come. This is the number one thing that we ought to recognize. This is what, before, this is he, when he begins to lay out the wisdom that God has given him, this wisest man that's ever been, notice what the first thing he starts out with. And this is a standalone verse again. This is not tied to the next that's coming or anything, but it's a standalone verse. And he says this, the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge. Again, knowledge here is an understanding that leads to wisdom when focused on morality and the application in our lives. Again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So if we want to be a wise person, and anybody that desires to be wise, what the number one thing in their life is, they need to seek God. And again, the word fear, we need to fear God, just like we should fear our parents. As young children, remember, I mean, they whip you. I didn't get an allowance. I was allowed to live under their roof and to eat their food, and basically that was what I was allowed to do in that house. And my daddy would go and he'd cut down oak saplings. If you told lies, that was the main thing right there. You don't lie to your daddy. You can make bad grades, you can do whatever, but don't lie to him. And he'd whip you. And so you respected him. You feared the wrath of Pa when it would come on you. But then as you grow older, especially around the ages of 27, 28, that fear begins to, he knows what he's talking about. You know, he's got some wisdom there. And so then you begin to respect him. And the fear leads to respect. And then out of that comes a relationship. I'd say that my father, he was my best man at my wedding, and I'd say he's probably my best friend right now. Things that I can't tell anybody. And I would say I'm closer to the deacons at this church than I've been at any church. But things that I could not tell them, I can tell my dad. And he won't judge me. He won't look down on me. He won't think differently of me. He'll just be there. And that's the same way that it ends with the relationship with God. You know, when we, yes, he can stop the next breath at any moment. But also, he's a wise and a loving God. And he don't want us just to live in that relationship of fear. He wants us to stand in amazement at who he is. But he also wants to have that relationship with us. He desires to have that relationship. And you know what? That's the way it's been since the beginning. What did it say that God would do in the evening with Adam and Eve? He'd come and walk with them. He wanted to have a relationship with them. That's what we've been created for. Amen. Okay, so now again, we're gonna lump these all together. Verses 8 and 9. Now, what we see here it, the type of wisdom is we see parent to child wisdom. This is what, and what we're going to see as we move on, we're going to see basic general wisdom is what we're fixing to see. But he says, listen, my son, to your father, and do not reject your mother's teaching, for they will be garland on your head. Now, we know that sin has entered in, and that many times the parents are not what they need to be to the children. And therefore, the children don't respect the parents as they should. But when it was created, it was supposed to be a respect from the children to the parents, because the parents genuinely loved their children and did what was best for their children and did not try to make their children angry. That wasn't, remember, the Bible says, do not provoke them to wrath, or don't try to get them to do something wrong. But they're doing it for the best, and that would lead to the respect, like we talked about. You fear them because they're the authority, but then it leads into the respect of the wisdom that you see that they put into your life. You know, the this hurts me more than it hurts you type stuff. And then that leads to the relationship. But he says that it'll be garland about your head. Now, you remember as the Romans, and they would take the wreaths and put them around their head when they would like run the races and all that, and that would be a sign of honor. It would be a sign of respect because it they were a champion. You know, they had earned it. Well, basically, that's what the wisdom of our parents is to us that's passed down. It is a sign of honor. It is a sign of respect. It is a sign of valor that's been passed on to us. Now we see, basically, as wisdom, wisdom cries out, and again, wisdom is presented as having human characteristics. So it has a voice, at times it has hands. Now we know wisdom is not a real being, just like we know God is a spirit, but yet it talks about God having hands and different things like that, and we see that in Christ Jesus. But listen to what he says, verses 10 through 19. My son, if sinners entice you, don't be persuaded. We talked about this a few weeks ago. It seems like in this world that the wickedest and most sinful people are the ones that are benefited. And at times, you cannot help but say, hey, I'd like a little bit of that in my life. A little bit more money, a little bit more peace, a little bit more at ease. But he says, hey, if this is enticed you, don't let it overcome you. Verse 11, if they say, come with us, and we will lay in ambush to kill somebody. Let us attack some innocent person for fun. Let's swallow them alive, whole, like Sheol. Now, Sheol here is the place of death, the underworld. And it says, like those who go down into the pit. We will find all sorts of valuable property and fill our houses with spoils. Throw in your lot with us, and we will share the loot. My son, don't travel down the road with them or set foot on their paths, because their feet runs toward evil, for the shedding of blood. They are impatient. It is useless to spread a net where the birds can see it, but they set an ambush to kill their own selves. They attack their own lives. Such are the paths of all who make their profit by dishonesty. It requires the lives of those who receive that profit or that dishonesty. And I really think that right now, especially in past weeks, but it's still going on in the writing, what's funny is this. You can see one or two begin to challenge someone, and they don't have that boldness. They disagree, and then they'll go and say, I need somebody to come and help me. And then you see the group idea come in, and you see the mentality. Next thing you know, many times what you see is you see the one that is different or has different beliefs, they end up getting beat up. And everybody's come in and they take their phone, they take this, they break into the, and they loot the buildings. And I've even seen it where it doesn't matter what race you are. I mean, they're just out about it. But what we see is we see this, the reality of this. They're not acting in wisdom. It's not acting in the best for what the nation needs. I'm not saying they don't need to be protesting. I'm not saying that. But the violence, a lot of the protests is just men, and it's been said, it is white people that's leading the violence and leading the looting and different things like that. And then What's funny is I read today that some of the looters are asking for others not to post videos of them because they don't want to get arrested. I mean, they're literally, the net is laid for them. They're getting caught by their own videos and things like that. So are there any thoughts about this? Especially as a teenager or freshly out of mom and daddy's house, you can see this a lot. Two or three head, four or five head have come together. They'll rent a house and all that. And very seldom do you see five or six, 20, 21-year-old men come together to get a house that anything good is really going to happen in that house. Probably the house is going to need great repair at the end of that situation from what I've seen in my life. Peaceful protesting has. When you look at Martin Luther King and what he did for the equality of the races. And he did not believe in it, but he stood up for equality. And we see laws change and you see things happen. He did. He spoke biblical. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what you have. You have a peaceful protest with wisdom being put out there. And I think, and as a nation, we have that right. We have the right to assemble peacefully and to stand up against. And I'll be honest with you, it may come to a point that we as Christians have to start doing this. We have to start doing it. Not that it's going to change anything, but at least we'll let our voice be heard. Just like when they did the thing up in Richmond where they believe that it's our right to carry guns and to have guns. Now, what did our governor say? It don't change my mind a lick, but you know where your state stands. He knows where his state stands at right now. The majority of his state. And it was peaceful. And it was blessed. But I think that there needs to be some reform in our nation. I'll agree with that. I think that the equality, and I think that people ought to have, everybody ought to have a right, equal rights. But why does one group have to give up rights so that another group can have rights? That don't make no sense. Not if we're going to have equal rights. It's just, there's no wisdom there. There's no wisdom being spoken. And a lot of it is, and then you see piggybacking. You know what I mean? They'll take sexuality and then try to put it on the back of racial equality. And then they'll try to say that now this sexual discrimination is equal to racial discrimination. I mean, it's just tied all together. You know, and again, I think what we're seeing is we're seeing a lot of our government officials that jump on the back of it because, not because it's best for the company or the country, but it's going to put them up and they're going to get more votes for them and all that. And it don't matter who votes for them, just as long as they get voted in and they get to where they need to be. That's what we're seeing, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And
what is going to be accomplished by all of this? Can change the hearts of people?
It is, and
God changes hearts.
He has to, and I'm gonna tell you something else, and y'all can, you're on Facebook, so y'all can call me crazy if you want to. But I believe a lot of it's deliberate. I mean, think about it. You've been trapped in your house and not been able to go anywhere for 3 months. And this then, when you're about to go stir crazy anyway, then something happens that emotionally wraps you up. And now you have a reason to go crazy. Right? I mean, that I think it's deliberate. I believe it 100%. Now, I'm not saying the government officials or whatever did it. I think there's a higher power that's at work and all that. But the Bible does teach us that he has humans working on his side and doing things. I think if the veil was pulled up and we could see what's going on in the spiritual realm, we would lose our minds. All right, I'm going to get off topic here, but y'all going to think I'm crazy. If you look back in the book of Revelations, one of the words that's used, it says that they would not repent of their sorceries. If you look at that word sorceries, I can't remember the chapter, but if you look at that word sorcery in the Greek, it comes from a root word that we probably should know, and that word is pharma, where we get the term pharmaceuticals, which is drugs. And you remember the old witch doctors and the soothsayers and the Indian shaman men and all that? What would they do? They would take a drug that would let them look into the what? The spirit world. And I'm telling you, there are aspects of it and things that are out there we're not supposed to be looking into. But these drugs and things like that, you don't know. Some of it is just fake and you're crazy and you're drunk. But others of it is you're seeing things you ought not see. And that's where our nation is. And right now, we live in a nation where pharmaceuticals, one of the biggest pushers of the pharmaceuticals, is the government. And they're getting more and more of their hands involved into it. And so you're not going to go, it's going to get to the point where you don't go to your doctor. You're going to go to your doctor and he's going to say you need this, but to get it, you're going to have to go to some government-owned situation or building, and they're going to be in control of it. So there's your crazy preacher and his crazy ideas and stuff like that. But it's coming. Is it 921? Look up that word. I promise you, it's in the Greek, it's pharma. Yeah. And they would not repent of their sorceries. They would not repent of their drug addictions. And taking them dope is what it is.
There's been some government officials in some states. There was one that criticized pretty heavily. He said that only Jesus Christ could change the heart of man.
Amen. And laughed. Yeah, laughed at. And
the Bible tells us not to strive, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of strife, but there's no reason.
For nothing.
For nothing.
Yeah, it's not.
If you have a problem with someone, we're commanded to go to that person and have that discussion. We're seeing strife for you when the majority of these people don't have any real reason to be upset.
No. So like I said, you can see some of the interviews, and I challenge you to go on like Ben Shapiro, the Daily Wire, and different things like that, and check it out. And they'll do interviews, and they'll say, "Why are you upset? Do you know the different situations and all that?" Like in certain states, those that commit violent crimes or crimes with guns are of different race than white. The majority, like 75 to 80%, is that racial profiling? I don't know. Not if you got 75 to 80%. It can't be that. I'm probably turning folks off on Facebook right now, but it is what it is. Don't share this one, okay? And then what you're going to see, and I won't read it, but when you go down to the next verses, what you see is you see a cry from wisdom. Wisdom is said, this is what you're doing. You need to shun it, son. You need to get away from it. You don't need to be with these type of people. You don't need to hang out with. Even if it's tempting, stay away from it. Then you have wisdom there in verses about 23 through 30, 33. What you're going to see there is wisdom says, how long? How long are you going to wait? How long are you going to run by your own foolishness and laugh at me when I cry out to you? I'm putting this in the wisdom at the gates. Remember, the gates is the town square. I'm trying to get this stuff out in the town square. I'm trying to get it to the point to where if you'll just listen to me, then you'll be blessed and the nation will be blessed and where you're at. But because you didn't listen to me when I told you, I reached my hand out to you and you wouldn't grab for my hand. And because of that, your destruction is going to come on you like a whirlwind. And the very things that you fear is going to fall on you. And now, again, we've seen where we're told as individual humans that we're not to laugh at the calamities of our enemies. But what does wisdom say? Wisdom says, I'm going to laugh at you. Because I was there. I was talking to you. I was within arm's reach to you. And you wouldn't take it. Now you're looking for me. Now you're wanting it. Now, like Brother Frank was saying about the second greatest authority in that state was willingly and outwardly saying, hey, this is what we need. This is wisdom. If we need to apply the truth of Christ, we need to take the wisdom of Christ and apply it in our nation. But it wasn't received. It was mocked. And you read in that right there, he talks, how long will the mockers love their mocking? Or how long will the fools love to make fun? And that's exactly what we're seeing right now. Anyone that stands up for the cause of Christ, most of them will be mocked, especially in certain areas of our country, in different places. So that's what we're seeing. It begins, we have that one phrase, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge. When you have that, then you've got those that's going to be willing to listen to it. Wisdom tells you to get away from those that are certain ways and grab hold to those that are of different this way. And so we have that. And then what we're going to see, the deeper we go, the shorter the Proverbs are going to be. And they're going to get to more bullet points. All right, anything else before we close out? Okay, Brother Roy Baker, do you mind coming and closing us out tonight?
Let's pray we take time in our life when we're studying the Word of God. I pray for wisdom and direction. We need to do that every day of our life. When we get drawn closer to God, we just pray tonight, Heavenly Father, and ask your blessings upon each word that's been come out from our pastor and his teaching of thy word. Lord, give us the knowledge and understanding of the word, and Father, directions on how to apply it to our everyday life and walk according to the way that you'd have us live as God's people. We pray for each one that's here tonight. Pray that you'll bless us as we return to our respective home and guide us through the remainder of this week in your will, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I love y'all, and